gonna cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're gonna make fun of people. We're gonna hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. Now this chick Velasquez has landed a couple of shots on this Keel Holtz. At least they're throwing some hands. Hopefully this fight will get better. They're in the second round of five. I'm watching from the Mohegan Sun on Showtime. We watch all these Bellator and UFC cards and fights, and I just look for, I don't even care. I've never heard of either one of these chicks. I just want to see somebody get lit up. I don't care who it is. I just want to see. I thought that that Mitrione fight, I got to be honest with you, that guy, Fortune, landed a headbutt. That's what Mitrione was yelling about when he went down on his back. Was he yelling for a timeout because he got headbutted so badly and that the ref was having none of it and let that guy, Fortune, pound him on the ground and he stopped the fight and then he got up and Mitrione threw a fit about that stoppage. What did you see? I definitely saw Fortune nail him with a massive headbutt.
Yeah, sometimes when these guys, especially the big guys, because they're, you know, kind of clumsy and klutzy at times and just throwing their whole bodies into things, and sometimes when that happens, you get the clash of heads, and, you know, if it's accidental, things happen, but you kind of pause it, make sure everything's okay usually, you know, get them back to standing and, you know, let them recover a little bit. You don't usually just let it go like that, so I don't know if the ref just didn't see it happen or if he just felt that Mitrione was, you know, hamming it up a little bit, that, you know, yeah, they hit heads, but it wasn't really as bad as he was making it. I don't know what, but he definitely let it continue from there. And, you know, according to Mitrione, in fact, and we'll have to see what they say in the press conferences afterwards.
Well, I mean, you saw it. He got nailed right in the head badly. And that was huge. It was a massive forward head, heavyweight, smashing his skull right into his head. And he was like dazed. And he went down, and he's like, time out, time out. And the ref was having none of it. That ref clearly missed that headbutt, never saw it. And then when the fight was over, Mitrione lit him up. And I think he has a bone to pick with him. I think he missed it. I think he definitely got a cheap shot headbutt, maybe unintentional, but it was vicious. And I think that did Mitrione in, to be honest with you.
So that could be one of those that you see later on and like change back to a no contest. And maybe these guys, you know, do it again at some point. But I can see the commission stepping in on that one.
Oh, my God. It was like he had no – I mean, the fight ended 30 seconds after that. Like he had been – I think the ref thought he got knocked out. And he didn't. He got headbutted. And he went down with a massive headbutt. I mean, you saw him. He was totally dazed from it. And then when he was on the ground, he's like – he was screaming that he needed a timeout for the headbutt, and the ref was having none of it. But whatever. It is what it is. So anyway, I was talking in Cali tonight to my friend, and I'm going there next week, right? I haven't gone anywhere in a year and a half, just like you haven't, Mafia. You haven't been able to go see your daughter. You haven't been able to really travel with the COVID and everything, the pandemic. It's been crazy. And, you know, this Delta variant is so crazy that it's got people scared to death. Obviously, there's tons of people getting it again. The numbers are skyrocketing again in 49 states. It's definitely an issue. Obviously, it's hitting more people that are unvaccinated than people that are. But people that are vaccinated are also getting it. I know that we had our colleague Rich Eisen from Mightier 1090 and NFL Network. He got it, and he's vaccinated. He's double vaccinated and still got it. That's crazy. Like, I mean, that scares me to death that, you know, you're double vaccinated and you still get it. Now, obviously, he said he's you know, I saw his statement. He's still bad, but he's not he's not deathly ill where he'd be on in ICU or in a hospital. He's definitely sick, though. He said he was sick. He was bad, but he wasn't as bad as he'd be if he wasn't vaccinated. So he's like, get vaccinated. But he's got it bad. And this Delta is no joke. And it scares me. It's unbelievable. I'm double vaccinated, everything else. Meanwhile, I'm going to Cali. And in Cali, we welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces. In California, like in Los Angeles, they've mandated masks again. And in LA County, you got to wear masks everywhere. In restaurants, bars, wherever. Anywhere you go inside, you got to wear a mask. Stores, whatever. And I guess there's 10 other counties now in California that have followed suit. I talked to my friends in San Diego, where I go, surfing, drinking, thinking, yelling, screaming, spinning, laughing, hurling, twerking, that they have not hit that point yet down there. But it sounds to me like it's so bad in California now that I have a feeling by next week when I go there, by whatever, end of the week, when I go there, it's going to be rampant and you're going to have to wear a mask everywhere you go. I got to wear a mask on the flight anyway for 6 hours. I mean, this thing just sucks. It's a life ruiner and wrecker.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talk about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with Mafia. I got to tell you, so my point is, Mafia, that, as I look at it from our perspective in the world of sports or whatever, this whole thing started in March of, 2020. And then, the whole sports world ended. And then we waited several months. And then hockey and basketball came back in bubbles. And they had the playoffs and whatever. And then you had the football season with no fans and all the rest. And then, eventually it seemed like sports was coming back. And then, it was back, but without fans or whatever. Eventually they let some fans in and people were, wearing masks and this and that. And then, eventually it got to the point where we are now, which is, when people started getting vaccinated, the problem seemed to go away. Right. And then everybody overreacted and, let's face it, all over the world, people started getting vaccinated and then they thought, I'm free and clear. I'm good. It's over. And then everybody started ripping the masks off and going back to bars and restaurants, partying, families, whatever, everybody having parties, barbecues, concerts, you name it. And now in short order, like, cause they just started doing this like recently, right? They just started having concerts. And I mean, I remember the Foo Fighters opened up the Garden and I mean, there's just, everything's back to normal. Airplanes are full again. People are traveling during the holidays. Gas prices are through the nose, inflation, people are going crazy. And then the reality is football teams are trying to get to camp and they're trying to get an 85% threshold with teams. And several teams are at like 50%. Very few, like five or six are at 85%. The rest of them aren't. Baseball, the Yankees have six guys down. The Phillies had four guys down. I remember last season or whatever, they had, multiple problems with like the Cardinals and et cetera, lots of teams with problems. Now the Yankees have six guys down, but they played tonight. They lost to the Red Sox. That was easy money. The Yankees suck anyway. Doesn't matter if they have COVID or pneumonia, they lose. But you lose Judge, you got problems, and sure enough, it reared its ugly head, and they're losing again. Coming out of the break, they lose their first game, probably lose the series, too. So anyway, That's the thing, is that now people think it's over and it's the Delta variant has come back. So now it's like a whole brand new, it's like a whole brand new pandemic has started. And they're saying the CDC and, you know, everybody that matters, scientists, doctors, Fauci, all of them, people hate them. Like, you know, it's all, it's so funny, you know, the politics of it and having the, you know, whatever, if you're right, left, Republican, Democrat, whatever. I think that people think that, you know, it's a political issue and that, you know, they hate Fauci and that it's the Democrats are getting everybody sick and the, it's the liberals that are doing this and I'm not going to vaccinate. Nobody's going to tell me to wear a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask on a plane. I'm going to punch the stewardess. I'm going to get carried off the plane like an animal in kowtows and zip ties. And the feds are going to put me in jail. Then I'm going to get fined $10,000 for my behavior on the airplane. And people are still willing to do that. People are still willing to. They're so stupid. People are so stupid. They're like, you know what? I'm not going to get vaccinated. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm going to do whatever I want. And no one's going to stop me. And then they get thrown in jail. And then they get fined $10,000. And then we'll see how tough they are. Everybody's got all the answers until they got a $10,000 bill to pay that they can't afford. So now it's rearing its ugly head again. In 49 states, it's soaring. And bottom line is, you know, everywhere you go, it's a problem now again. And it's mostly for the majority of the cases are people that are unvaccinated. And then, like I said, some people that are vaccinated are still getting it, are still getting the COVID and the Delta variant. But they're, you know, not getting as sick as the people that aren't. That's amazing to me that it is back. And it seems like it's, you know, blowing up again. It is a problem. And it's becoming an issue again in a big way. And you can watch the news or whatever and not believe it. You're one of these people that you have all the answers and you're a Republican. No one's going to tell me what to do. I don't watch the news. The news is fake news. And I still think Donald Trump's the president. And so no one's going to give me a vaccine. And then what's happening is those, all these idiots that won't do it, they're the ones getting everybody sick and they're the ones getting sick and they're the ones dying. The people that have the double vaccine, they're the ones that are maybe getting sick, but they're not dying. The people that are dying are the ones that aren't. Isn't that accurate, Mafia? Is that not the truth? Is that not the reality of it? And then you can think you're such a badass because you don't wear it, the mask, and you don't get vaccinated. No one's going to tell you, and your kids aren't going to do it either. But then you're going to die, and no one's going to give a rat's ass when you're dead. Is that about right? Is that not what's happening? Is that not what that is happening, Mafia?
Yeah, it's just becoming, I mean, not becoming, it already has been, always has been. It's too much of a political thing for people. It's not a political crisis, it's a health crisis. It doesn't matter whether you're left, right, center, you get this, you get sick. It happens to everybody. It's happened all around the world. So, you know, obviously people got too complacent. Just because even if you get vaccinated, it doesn't mean you're immune. It doesn't mean you can't get it. It just means, you know, it protects you from getting it. And if you do get it, it's not as bad. But yeah, you're definitely not, you know, getting it where it's putting you in the hospital and putting you in the morgue. That's what, you know, I got the Johnson & Johnson. They gave me the one shot. Not what I wanted. That's just what they had. So when I was looking it up, I'm like, oh man, the you know, efficiency isn't as good, but it's still 100% of against hospitalization and dying. So yeah, I'll take it. And that's what it is. I mean, people are just, they're so sick of living a certain way, you know, living all worried and precautious and masks and stuff. But this is what happens when you don't, you know, when you kind of think the race is over before you hit the finish line, things happen again. It kicks back up. That's what we're getting.
Do you think it's going to ruin sports again?
No, I don't think it's going to ruin
sports. It already
sports.
Is.
I mean, I think that a lot of these people, a lot of the athletes got it for the most part. I mean, NFL, even though we hear a lot of these guys say, oh, I'm not going to get it, or I haven't gotten it, you see the numbers climbing in that. So I think that we're getting closer and closer to, you know, a situation where if you get it, it's a couple guys maybe, and they get put on, you know, put to the side and kept away, and then the rest of the team goes on, as opposed to what we had in the MLB last year, where, you know, a couple guys get it and it shuts down the whole team because tomorrow another 10 guys have it.
I wonder, Mafia's got an over-under on whether my vacation will be ruined with the COVID. Mafia's putting up a number on the over-under on if I will be able to get through surfing in California and going to Southern California and chilling the most, where I love to go, if I'm going to be able to go there with my family and get away with it, because I'm scared to even go to the airport, let alone going to Southern California. I got to tell you, like, I'm doing everything possible to avoid people. I'm sitting in first class. I paid through the nose to do everything. Like, I'm not messing around with it. I'm scared to death of it. I don't want anything to do with it. You know why? Because I had it. I already know how sick I got. I mean, I had it in Christmas and New Year's. It was the worst. I mean, I was on death's doorstep. It was awful. God, I hate this. And you know what really bothers me is people. I just cannot stand these people that refuse to get it, the vaccine. I get it. No one tells you what to do. Okay, well then, see you, die. Bye. Bye. No one's going to miss you. Just thought I'd let you know.
Scotty, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
I got to tell you, this chick, Velasquez, that's incredible to me. She got outstruck 101-46. The chick, the little one, landed 69-38 in punches. Kicks 32-7 she landed. And are they going to give this champion the win? Because I got to tell you, Mafia, I watched that fight. She sucks. That champion sucks, and you can't even deny it. I mean, she is as boring as your head on a pillow while you're sleeping. I mean, honestly, like, I was bored to death watching that. If she's the champ, I mean, I'd get in the business of being in that division if I were a chick, because I know that belt isn't going to be on her waist very long.
Yeah, that was a very weak fight. I mean, it wasn't a great fight either way. They're both kind of just dancing out and, you know, throwing a couple punches here or there, but it was a lot of just moving and avoiding the other one. That's it, so... Definitely not the kind of headliner you want from them. You want more action, you know, whether it be takedowns or something more than that. I'm very surprised by those numbers. I thought it was kind of, you know, back and forth, relatively even. I'm surprised that they have her landing so much. I thought that she whiffed on a lot of punches. I was surprised.
That little chick beat her ass. She beat her ass. I don't care if she's got a shiner and a broken nose. She beat her ass. She landed so many punches and kicks. How can you not give her that belt? The other one did nothing. The champion did nothing that entire fight, and they gave her the win. That champion, my ass. You suck. You're terrible. You're horrible. Don't brag like you're some. She's bragging like, look at the size of my muscles. You mean the ones you didn't use the whole fight? You suck. She won a split decision at Juliana Vasquez. How terrible was she? Oh, my God. You can't even deny it, Mafia. That chick sucks. She's terrible. I'm done with that. That fight was terrible. That little chick beat her ass, and she didn't get that decision. That's BS.
Yeah, those numbers are even close to being accurate. It's ridiculous that she didn't get it. I mean, I know that the tough thing with MMA right now, the way it's judged, you know, it's not the old Pride rules where that was just total fight, because then obviously you'd see all the strikes and say, okay, well, obviously she won. Then, you know, no competition whatsoever. But it's, you know, round by round. So maybe a lot of those were in the one round. I don't know. It's tough either way. It's just a... It was a crap fight. It was terrible. The card was bad overall because, like you said, you had the Mitrione one where he gets hit in the head and, you know, you have the stoppage on the takedown. He gets hit in the head and then they get stopped. You have this one, which is just five rounds of dancing. It was not a strong performance this week on Bellator at all.
And listen, if you're the champion and you got 5 inches and at least 4 inches of reach on this little chick, and the little chick lands that many punches, that many strikes, that many kicks, and then gets no, and the other chick, the champion, throws no punches, no kicks. The entire fight, she took her down once, and she wins a split decision. What a joke. That's a joke. I don't care what anybody says. All right, so a Brazilian skateboarder, Gui Curry, becomes the first ever to complete a 1080 in a non-mega vert ramp in front of Tony Hawk at the X Games tonight. So Tony was there when this kid landed this 1080. That had to be something else. And Mafia, the Mets and Pirates had a bench-clearing brawl as Marcus Stroman and John Nagowski get heated and exchange words between innings, and both benches emptied. I don't know if you saw that fight, but I guess they it got heated. I'm looking at it right now. I'm sure I have to put up with a 5-minute commercial before I see the video. Is there anything worse than you try to watch a highlight on these phones or websites, and you got to watch commercials before you get to see it? Is there anything worse than that in life? No.
So frustrating, because every video you got to do that. But by the way, Scott, as bad as that decision was in your eyes, that helped us set our parlay today. We had all three. We had Fortune, her, and Blanco all win. So at least we did that.
Well, at least you won the bets. Thank God, because the fights all sucked. Anyway, I'm looking at this fight right now, and it was
baseball. It wasn't a real fight.
Yeah, it wasn't a real fight. There was a lot of talking and spitting going on, and a lot of finger pointing, but nothing major. Nothing major. There was a guy on the field named Sherlock, which is interesting. Yeah, whatever you say, Sherlock. But everybody's seemed like they were under control, so it really wasn't that exciting. I just thought I'd say, but they did clear the benches. All right. By the way,
Scott,
how about this?
That kid who hit that, the 1080 you were talking about in the next game?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's 12.
Yeah, he's 12.
He's 12.
12-year-old lands a 1080 in front of Tony Hawk. Now, that kid will be the most popular kid on the face of the earth. He'll be famous in about 5 minutes because he just did it at the X Games. So now he's going to be, they're going to brand him. The Padres beat the Nationals 24-8. Paddock, 4 earned runs over 5 innings. That doesn't even matter at the end of the day. Myers hit a grand slam, had 5 RBIs. 24-8, Padres. What a way to start the second half. Astros beat the White Sox. I hit that bet. 7-1, McCullers over Cease. As the Astros go to the south side of Chicago and kick the White Sox ass, I'm watching the highlights right now as we speak. I think Brantley hit one out. And McCullers had it dropping off the table like a wet noodle in this game. The White Sox were swinging and missing at everything. He had 10 strikeouts in the game. And Gurriel had 2 RBIs, went 3-for-4 for the Astros. And then I'm watching the Giants now hitting a home run at Busch, too. And I know in that game, here's another one into the seats. They're hitting home runs left and right in that game. All right, so I want to look at the score at the very least for some of these games going on. That Giants game is 7-2. Yastrzemski's got a home run, his 14th in that game. I just want to look at the box score here. So, Solano 2-for-4, Casale 2-for-4, and then you get Yastrzemski 2-for-4, 2 runs, 4 RBIs, a walk, a home run, his 14th. In the fourth inning off Wainwright, and then I'm looking at Yastrzemski hit 2, 13, and 14. He hit one in the seventh off McFarland with 2 on and two out. And then Wade Jr. hit his eighth in the fifth inning off Wainwright with two on, two out. So Yastrzemski, four RBIs. Wade Jr., three RBIs. And they're going off 7-2. They lead the Cardinals in St. Louis. I bet on the Giants as well. I bet on the Dodgers. They're up 10-4 in the eighth on the Rockies. I bet on L.A. Bellinger singled in the first, bet scored. Taylor, a home run. A three-run shot made it 5-0. Smith doubled to deep right. Betts and Urias score. Two-run double there for Smith. Smith again, single to center. Lux and Muncy scored. He's having a huge game. Your boy Smith getting involved. I just want to look at the box score there on the Dodgers. Smith in that game, 2-for-4, four RBIs. Taylor, his 11th home run. Taylor, three RBIs. Betts, an RBI, 39. Bellinger, two RBIs, 18 and 19. Smith, four RBIs now, 36 on the season. The Dodgers, 56 and 35, putting it on the Rockies tonight. Bottom eight, they're up 6 runs. The Mariners lead the Angels 4-1. I bet on the M's as well. Seattle up in Anaheim 4-1. Top of the seventh, runner at first, one out. I'm on the Cubs at Arizona. They're up 2-1 on the Diamondbacks in the bottom of the sixth. Arizona's up with a runner on first and two outs. I took the A's. They're tied with the Indians 3-3, bottom six. A's have a runner at second with one out. I hit the Red Sox, 4-0 over the Yankees. I hit the Phillies and Marlins doubleheader, both ends of it. Phillies game one, Marlins game two. I lost the Padres. I hit the Blue Jays, 10-2 over the Rangers. Lost the Brewers. They beat the Reds, 11-6. I went with the Reds. Hit the Rays over the Braves. They were down 6-4. They win it 7-6 and 10. I hit the Royals. Hit the Astros. Mafia, I'm just hitting bets left and right tonight in the opening of the second half in baseball, just raking winners for people on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Like, you're raking the Bellator winning bets, and I'm sure you'll be raking on the UFC fight night tomorrow night. So a great night of betting. Hopefully tomorrow in baseball I'll have another huge day, and the Suns and Bucks game five tomorrow night in the Valley. I'm on the Suns. I really am, and I'm laying the 3.5.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us?
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the Bench with Mafia. So tomorrow night, a good fight. Jermell Charlo's fighting Castano, the Argentine, who's undefeated. They're both undefeated, obviously. What'd you say, Mafia? The odds are terrible because it's he's such a heavy favorite, Charlo. But I'm telling you, this kid, Castano, can fight.
No, the odds aren't terrible. Once. That's what I said. Finally, it'll be like the first Charlo fight where it's on minus like 2,500 on the odds. It's only minus 280. That's nothing for boxing.
Yeah, that's – oh, so I thought you were telling me it was the other way around. I didn't know how bad it was. I just told you I'm on Charlo. I love – you know, we've had the Charlos on the show before. They're both great fighters. This guy means business. There's no doubt about it. But he's finally fighting somebody in San Antonio worth a look. That one's I think tomorrow night on Showtime. I could be wrong. I think it's on Showtime. It is. So you can actually watch that fight. It what?
Yeah, it's on tomorrow night on Showtime. They just had the ads for it during the Bellator fight, so don't need to do pay-per-view for it.
Yeah, that's a good fight. I think that'll be interesting tomorrow night. So anyway, let's see what I got going here. I got the Dodgers going, the Giants going, the Mariners going, the Cubs now up 3-1 on the Diamondbacks, and that Mariners game is now 6-1, not 4-1 anymore. I need the A's, so that's tied in the sixth. But they have two runners on, two outs. Hopefully they'll take the lead there. I hit the Red Sox, lost the Mets, hit, let's see. I got to get this right again. Dodgers, Mariners, Cubs, Red Sox, the Marlins and Phillies, hit both ends of that. Lost to the Padres, hit the Blue Jays, lost the Brewers, hit the Rays, hit the Royals, hit the Astros, and the Giants just checked in. That just happened this very second. So, I mean, I'm already at double-figure wins tonight in baseball on the opening of second half. You know, tonight was the opening. So there you go. They're back playing, and I'm back winning. You can get all my baseball snags for Saturday and Sunday at PharrellOnTheBench.com. And the fights, you got the Charlo fight. You got the UFC fight night. Mafia was perfect tonight in the Bellator. So all those picks will be up on the site. Check it out. And tomorrow night, the Suns and Bucks. What do you think, Moff? Do you think I'm crazy? You know, I went for it all chips in on the Suns in game four in Milwaukee. I thought they should have won the game. I'll never take it back. I think they blew the game. They had it. They, you know, you shoot 50% in the game and the other team shoots 40 and you can't win that game. I thought in the fourth quarter, they melted down. I thought they, Paul turned the ball over. They blew it. The refs made a bunch of missed calls on both ends and they didn't win in spite of the refs. You got to score and win in spite of them. If the refs aren't giving you any whistles or any calls, you're not getting to the line. You're not getting any love. You gotta hit buckets. That's what you got to do. But I think I should have, you know, honestly, I should have won that bet. And I didn't. Bad beat. I thought they had it. They'd be up 3-1. They'd be playing tonight for the NBA championship Saturday night at 9 Eastern. They'd be playing for the title, but now it's 2-2. They're not. This is a huge, pivotal game five. They're laying 3.5. Who do you like?
Yeah, I think you came so close, X. I mean, if not even just the refs or the turnovers. I mean, hell, if Giannis doesn't make that block on Ayton, you got a tie game coming down the stretch with like just over a minute. Probably a 3-4 point game, which is where that spread was. You could have hit on that even if they lost the game. But I agree with you. I just think, you know, yes, the refs were slanted in the way they were calling things in a way. And we said that the first game was Suns. The second and third one were for the Bucks. They figured fourth was going to be for the Suns, but it just didn't go that way. But, you know, Booker was just playing through it. But the problem was the turnovers, and we're not going to see Chris Paul to play the same way. The same way that we just saw, you know, and you said the other day that you're not going to see Booker play two bad games in a row as far as shooting-wise, you're not going to see that from Chris Paul again this series. He's not going to have five turnovers again. That is completely, you know, unlike him. And the rest of them have to do the same thing. They all have to take better care of the ball. And I think getting back home, getting in front of their fans and their crowd who have been, you know, so much power for them this postseason, they've given them so much juice. I think they're going to get back to their winning ways in this game, and they're going to take game five. And, you know, I think we can still go seven, and I think that'll factor again. You know, I think it's going to be a home-and-home series the way this whole series has gone so far. And I know it was the same way for the Bucks against the Nets until game seven. But I think that, you know, until we get to that game seven, we might just be trading, you know, whoever's at home gets the win right now.
How about it comes down to the fourth quarter of game seven or the second half of game seven? The whole thing comes down to that because that's what it looks like right now. That game the other night came down to the fourth quarter. The rest of the game was tighter than a drum. And then in the fourth quarter, whoever makes the mistakes loses. And that was the Suns. They had the game. They should have won. Should have, could have, would have. Didn't. Blew it. Made mistakes. Paul was terrible, turned it over late twice, cost him the game. He cost him the game. There's no getting around it. Nobody wants to talk about their favorite, you know, poser MVP. They handed him the MVP of the finals before they played game one. The national media handed him the MVP of the finals before they ever tipped the ball off in game one. And he's no more the MVP than I am. And that's all there is to it. So Richard Sherman today pled not guilty to five charges. and said he's, quote, remorseful of my actions, end quote. So he said he was deeply remorseful for my actions. He's pled not guilty to 5 misdemeanor charges stemming from his arrest in Seattle this week. According to documents, the charges include 2 domestic violence counts, criminal trespass in the second degree, malicious mischief in the third degree, along with resisting arrest, driving under the influence, and reckless endangerment of roadway workers. The charges are all misdemeanors punishable by 90 days in jail or gross misdemeanors punishable by up to a year. He was with his wife, Ashley, in court and before the King County District Court Judge Lisa Paglisotti. Today, his next scheduled court date is a pretrial hearing on August 13th. He cannot go near his father-in-law, Raymond Moss. I'm deeply remorseful of my actions on Tuesday night. I behaved in a manner I'm not proud of. I have been dealing with some personal challenges over the last several months, but that's not an excuse for how I acted. The importance of mental and emotional health is extremely real, and I vow to get the help I need. I appreciate all the people who have reached out in support of me and my family, including our community here in Seattle. I'm grateful to have such an amazing wife, family, and support system to lean on during this time. Of course, I'm just going to cut through all the rest of this BS and get down to it. How funny is it, seriously, that he's not guilty. He's pled not guilty. Didn't do it. Meanwhile, did you watch the video? Did Richard watch the video? Did he see how insane he was at his father-in-law's front doorstep on the front door? Did his behavior there? He's not guilty, my ass. What? Not guilty of what? Driving the car drunk and smashing it and crashing it, hit and run. He left the scene of the accident, went back to his father-in-law's house and tried to bull rush through the door, smashing into it like he was at NFL training camp and was drunker than 2 handles of whiskey. I mean, not guilty. Not guilty. I mean, you know, it's so funny to me. No one's ever guilty of anything when they go to face the judge. Not guilty. He said, I didn't do it. But I'm really remorseful of my actions on Tuesday night. It's just not who I am to behave this way. I've got all kinds of mental health problems, and I'm going to get the help I need, but I didn't do it.
Right. That's the kicker. I'm sorry for what I did, but I didn't do anything.
I'm so sorry for my behavior. I have such a wonderful wife. She called in saying that I was going to kill myself and kill the cops if they came and drew guns on him. He was going to kill him. So he didn't do anything. He's not guilty of anything. And his lawyer said, we'll vehemently defend him. All these accusations are crazy. He didn't do anything. He wasn't even there. Well, who the F was it then trying to knock the house down? What was the huff? I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow the house down. Which one was that? The 3 little piggies? Was that the who was the dude that tried to blow it down?
The Big Bad Wolf.
The 3 little piggies. But who was the guy? The guy that was trying to blow it down. The Big Bad Wolf, right?
Right.
Well, I think the Big Bad Wolf was the guy in King County the other night. It was not Richard Sherman. He just looked like him because he had the same kind of mane.
You know what this is, though. You know, obviously stuff happened. We know that happened. He admitted it happened. All this is wasting time, giving them more time to cut a deal. That's all this is going to be, is cutting a deal to get as little bit as they can, you know, whatever sentence or slap on the wrist that he can get, community service. All this is giving his lawyer more time to cut a deal because, you know, there's no way he's getting off on this.
What a joke that is. Honestly, it is such a joke. I mean, it really is unbelievable.
So I'm not guilty until my lawyer gets me a sweetheart of a bargain with the DA, and then I'm completely guilty of everything they say.
By the time he's done, and by the way, when he crashed the car, they charged him with endangering construction road workers. You know how they double the fines when there's construction in the construction zone or there's construction workers, road workers on the highway or on the road. They double the fines. He hit and ran. He was drunk driving, DUI, hit and run, leaving the scene of a crime, and he didn't do anything. And he's, I hope he's found God in the time that this has happened Tuesday night. It's now late night, Friday night on the East Coast, coming up on 9 in the West in Seattle. I'm just hoping that he's found God and that all that education he got at Stanford in Palo Alto has taught him to say one thing, not guilty. I didn't do any of it. I wasn't even there. It was the it was the three little piggies. They did it. That dragon or whatever the hell was at the front door. The
dragon. When did we get to a dragon? Is it Mulan?
It was Loki. Loki did it. Oh God. I love it. Is there anything better than me butchering the word politics tonight on the air and then butchering the I called him a dragon.
I guess we know who's reading the bedtime stories of your house and it wasn't you.
No. I've never done anything to help anyone, including reading to children. That doesn't happen. Oh, wait. Do you remember I did read to the children? What was the book that I read?
Something about farting, right?
It was a book about farting that I did at my daughter's preschool. What was the name of that book? I'll never remember, but it was
Wilfred. Something about some farting dog.
Wilfred the farting dog. That's what it was. That was a great book, though. One of my favorite books. One of my favorite reads. By the way, like I got to go back to that story. They never caught the guy that stole the $3 million. They never found him. I was in St. Martin all those years. He was probably my neighbor, and he was raising dragons. Oh, that's funny. But you got to admit, that's pretty good. He got away with the $3 million. I mean, honestly. And he got rid of the chick that he didn't love to begin with. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
I was watching Charlo and his brother, Jermell and Jermall Charlo. So he, you know, Jermell's fighting and Jermall shows up to train with him. They go running at 6 a.m. and he lives in this gated community with mansions and just tons of money. And I'm sure his rich white neighbors in these giant mansions, they must love seeing the 50 hangers on that go jogging behind him like puppies trailing their mommy out in the yard. Like, I mean, this guy, the Charlo brothers have like 50, like, I mean, these mooches running with them, like, for whatever reason, I have no idea. There's like, I mean, this pack of wolves running. Why can't he just run on his own or with his brother? They got like 40 guys jogging at 6 a.m. in this neighborhood full of gigantic, enormous 20-bedroom mansions on acres upon acres of gated communities and these enormous. And meanwhile, he's got this house with like 50 sports cars in the driveway. Jesus, it's like a scene out of the Mayweather money tree watching this kid live in this neighborhood.
I'm sure they do run by themselves. Like when the cameras aren't there, then all of a sudden everybody and their brother has to show up so they could be on TV too.
Yeah, and be famous, whatever. Meanwhile, like 5 people will watch the fight tomorrow night. I'll watch it because I like them. I think they're good fighters. I like the Charlo brothers. I'll watch. I want to watch Louis Oosthuizen and win the Open Championship. And I'm going to watch baseball all weekend. Mafia is going to get me to watch the UFC fight night. All the picks will be on PharrellOnTheBench.com. And then we'll be back at the Meadowlands on Monday at 4 Eastern for Coast to Coast. So I'm going to ball all morning on Saturday and Sunday. I got all that going for me. I'll play tons of basketball. I'll probably play like 6 hours of ball. I'll see you freaks Monday. Have a great weekend. Peace.